WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Severe weather in Michigan has killed at least five people and left hundreds of thousands without power. And that is just some of the problems in the region.
The governor activated the state's Emergency Operations Center in southeast Michigan after 2 days of flooding. Close to 200,000 homes without power. About 20 miles north of Detroit, Canton Township Supervisor Ann Marie Griffin Hodak. She's worried.
We have a lot of flooding areas and now we're out of power and homes that have sump pumps that can't get the water out are going to be in even more of dire need.
An area of state of emergency has been declared, hoping to get money from FEMA. Charlie Langton for CBS News, Detroit.
All 19 defendants have surrendered in the Georgia election interference case, including former President Trump. Now that he's out on bond, he's trying to use this latest arrest in his campaign to return to the White House.
It is something that the former president is trying to, again, use to his advantage, which we have seen him do, really, with all of these cases. You know, when he's talking to his supporters, saying that I am doing this for you. You know, I'm kind of taking one for the team, if you will, for you, because they're trying to come after you, has kind of been a lot of the messaging we've heard from the former president.
That's CBS's Nicole Killian. Here we go again. COVID cases are increasing across the country. Details from CBS's Christopher Cruz.
On CBS Mornings, CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder says it might be prudent to mask up again.
If you are going to be in a crowded public place, the subway, an airplane, a crowded theater, those are the kinds of places I would at least consider wearing a mask.
Nationwide, there was a 21% increase in hospitalizations in just 1 week this month, most of them in people 70 and older. The CDC expects that trend to continue into the fall. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Members of the United Auto Workers Union have voted to authorize a strike if contract negotiations with the automakers fail. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert has more from Detroit.
This doesn't guarantee a strike, but authorizes union negotiators to call a walkout if needed. Workers are looking for big pay raises, more time off, and a return of benefits given up in previous negotiations.
Protesters in front of the Japanese Prime Minister's official residence in Tokyo have been making it clear just how they feel about the decision to discharge treated water from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. The protesters held signs reading, "Don't dump tritium-contaminated water into the sea." Officials insist the water is safe, but China has banned seafood from Japan. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Prescriptions for
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. An Eau Claire woman has pled not guilty by mental disease or defect after being charged with burglary, physical abuse of an elder person, and the use of a dangerous weapon. 22-year-old Megan DeHate is accused of breaking into a Dunn County home on June 6th and hitting one of the homeowners with a metal object before being restrained until authorities arrived. She appeared in Dunn County Court on Thursday to enter the not guilty plea. According to findings by the Urban Institute, Wisconsin's Young Apprenticeship Program is the most seasoned and expansive initiative of its kind. Over 8,000 young Wisconsinites worked through the program during the 2022-2023 school year, engaging in practical work, fostering networking relationships, and accruing academic recognition. The Urban Institute also found the program serves as a viable and economical substitute to a traditional college education and highlighted its capacity to open career opportunities. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886. And tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
I am woman.
In the heck was that yesterday? I mean, circus does not even begin to describe that. Abomination. Listen, it's been busted for so long. Like, debates have no function. They really don't. Like, the skills that get tested in debates, zero to do with good leadership. Okay. A debate tests how someone debates. That's it. Doesn't test how smart they are. Doesn't really test mastery of issues, as yesterday amply demonstrated. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. What did you think about whatever it is that we're going to call the thing that happened yesterday on Fox News? 844-967-2789. What did you think about, what do you call it? I mean, a blank show doesn't even quite get us there, does it? 95% of that was no substance. Like 95%, zero substance. At least we all now watched DeSantis like implode on national television. What was the man doing with his face when he was trying to smile? I don't even know what that's. Is it a grimace? He does not seem like an emotionally well man at all. Like, how did this guy ever get elected in the first instance? And I know the fact that he loves to talk about his landslide in 22, but he won by like half a percentage point the first time out. So again, what did you think about that? Because wow. 844-967-2789. Remember, you can always go get the Civic Media app from your favorite app store, and then you can call or text us with just one click. I've already heard from one of our listeners via the text line. I'd like to see Vivek's political career fed into the crocodiles. Crocodiles like Mola Ram, the villain in Temple of Doom. Yes! Who is that guy? Why is he on a debate stage? Why is he in the middle? Why are his teeth so white and large? Why is he quoting Barack Obama? Why does he know nothing about nothing about nothing? Why does he keep saying what he's saying is true when it's not? Don't get Ramaswamy.
Why did he have a truck drive around downtown Milwaukee with signs that said weird stuff like God is real and human flourishing requires fossil fuels? It was very strange to see.
And then, like, he makes the statement and then it just says, like, truth, right? Human flourishing requires fossil fuels until it doesn't, right? Like, not helpful. God is real to you. What do you call your God, Vivek? I mean, are we a secular democracy or not? Hashtag facts. I mean, that guy probably was the most annoying on the stage. I don't know. Who was your villain of the evening? Because I think I gotta give it to DeSantis because he really, like, it's so skeevy and evil and laden with hate speech. So very, very creepy. We're hearing from more texters, to paraphrase the Aqua song, no thank you for the circus. No, I didn't enjoy the show. Indeed, indeed. And I'm thinking he probably means ABBA, not Aqua, right? Is that an ABBA lyric, texter? Mark, thank you for that. Who is your favorite villain? I think mine has got to be DeSantis. Forever in my mind, Meatball Ron. Vivek, a close second to me. The super performers, clearly Nikki Haley. She was the one that probably spoke with the most substance, seemed to be most grounded in reality. I hate the constant trans bashing. It's such a freaking sideshow. Leave people alone. Okay? Has nothing to do with y'all. So I just... Nikki Haley, absent the trans bashing, I thought clearly was the adult on the stage. I mean, Christie mustered up some indignation, right, and had some good one-liners. But I would have picked Nikki Haley and Chris Christie without the debate. So let's return to point one. Debates have zero function. They serve zero purpose except for everybody to watch to see if somebody can mic drop on someone else, which, again, not a leader makes. It's sort of like if you were going to pick your brain surgeon through a beauty pageant. No, this is not what we do. We look at experience. And have you done brain surgery before? Might be a reasonable question to which Vivek would have to answer, no, I have no experience in government at all whatsoever, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, observably so, right? Text lines are blowing up. Anya's going to help me try to get through them. Brother Ron has been driving around downtown blasting weird, creepy messages for decades.
I thought he was dead. Is he back? Did the GOP rise him from the grave for this? This is incredible.
Right? And if you do, if you're not a Milwaukeean and you don't know about Brother Ron, this is the guy with the, like, Woody station wagon back from the 80s that would drive around. It's like, God is real. The end is nigh. He's one of those guys with, like, a loudspeaker blasting around. I mean, he was there when I was back, like, in the mid-90s. Yeah, Brother Ron is basically on an equal rationality level with half the people up there. He keep talking about abortion up until the moment of birth. That is not a Democratic policy, you jerks. Quit trying to scare people. 1% of abortions are third-term abortions. Can we talk about the majority of what we're talking about? We talk about choice and bodily autonomy. And thank you, Nikki Haley, for actually trying to have, like, a rational and adult debate about abortion. It was the most adult thing that was said on the stage that night. She said, I'm pro-life, but we need to have a discussion, a debate rooted in compassion. Bravo. I disagree with her, right? But bravo. We need to have a discussion rooted in compassion. The problem is that compassion has been driven out of the GOP. They have compassion for corporations with effective tax rates of zero. It was just so surreal, Anya. Like, the block party that was supposed to be going on for young Republicans that had, mm-hmm, like 10 people there that looked like they were in the ninth gate of hell.
Yeah, you guys didn't even see the onslaught of people with their kids dressed up as pilgrims that walked through with, I kid you not, fifes and drums like the revolution was going down. I think, and I say this, I think they might have been part of Vivek's campaign. Their signs had the same Truth logo that his other nonsense had, but there were huge mascots of Trump and Fauci with masks on, big puppets wandering around. It was a circus. There really is no other word for what I saw down there. I was flabbergasted the whole day. It was insane. Yeah.
And, like, bravo to you and Brady Coulthard, who are out there in the freaking heat with the weirdos. Boy, it does not bode well for the RNs. It's very, very strange. very strange. And then like Fox News, I thought, are they getting punked? Like, who told them to go to the Walgreens on Brady Street to do interviews before? If you are not from Milwaukee and you want to get a slice of humanity, like the place that you go to in the city of Milwaukee is the Brady Street Walgreens. Like, there is always some wacky stuff going down. And so, like, that's where Fox News posts up to get, like, man on the street interviews. Like, so crazy. And then the whole song thing with the video in the beginning, I was like, is this MTV? What is the bell? Is this supposed to provoke some Pavlovian like boo or cheering response from the crowd? Because none of the candidates were paying attention to any of the time limits. Right? Moderators with zero control. Pence, people have given some positive response on Pence. Again, you want to give your two cents this afternoon, 844-967-2789. He actually showed up. He had more energy than I've seen from him. But it was largely like so religious to me that Penn starts to take on the like nee, 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 vibe to me, because it's just so old school preachy evangelical. But yeah, he showed up there. Want to also thank everybody that showed up at the Coin last night and said hello. It was so much fun. Like Kate from Madison, my girl that went to MGC in grade school, former City of Milwaukee employee, lives on the South Side, bought me a beverage. That was really, really awesome. I appreciate it. Can't wait to hang out with y'all again. Who are your favorite villains, winners and losers? 844-967-2789. We got to start with what I thought was the best line from the night. Anya, this is going to be cut four. This is Nikki Haley. Excuse me. Cut six. This, to me, was the takeaway line from the whole thing, where basically Nikki Haley calls it out. Here we go. Cut six, Anya. Thank you.
Positioned to turn around this economy that we've heard all of these voters talking about tonight, then Mr. Ramaswamy, who is a successful entrepreneur nationally right now, he's beating you in the polls.
Well, I don't care about polls. What I care about, the fact is that no one is telling the American people the truth. The truth is that Biden didn't do this to us. Our Republicans did this to us, too. When they passed that $2.2 trillion COVID stimulus bill, they left us with 90 million people on Medicaid, 42 million people on food stamps. No one has told you how to fix it. I'll tell you how to fix it. They need to stop the spending. They need to stop the borrowing. They need to eliminate the earmarks that the Republicans brought back in. And they need to make sure they understand these are taxpayer dollars. It's not their dollars. And while they're all saying this, you have Ron DeSantis, you've got Tim Scott, you've got Mike Pence. They all voted to raise the debt. And Donald Trump added $8 trillion to our debt, and our kids are never going to forgive us for this. And so at the end of the day, you look at the 2024
yes
budget.
Thank you, Nikki Haley. You can cut the audio. Donald Trump added $8 trillion to the debt, and our grandchildren are never going to forgive us for it. Joe Biden should just run that clip over and over and over again. And here's the thing, that $8 trillion, yeah, that's not going to middle class folks. That's going to the effective tax rate as zero for corporations and rich people like Ron Johnson. Shame on you, Donald Trump. Bravo to Nikki Haley for calling it out. Call us, 844-967-2789. Give us your hot take here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. teachers learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, mostly clear tonight, to low in the upper 50s. Sunny, gorgeous, and mid-70s tomorrow, upper 70s with sun Sunday. Another slight storm chance later Sunday night and on into Monday. Monday high hitting around 80. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Like what? Chair don't give a now like that. Got me down already, done, done. Take on the key, go on and get jet, that's not my fault. Told ya, I don't care at all.
What's up, Ben? What was that? I cannot get my head around how weird that was and how terrible the moderators were. Terrible. You cannot fail more than they did at moderating a debate. And I'll get back to my point. It's like picking a brain surgeon through a beauty pageant. They're not even being asked tough questions. These are gimme questions set up by Fox News. It's like, if you're not going to ask them the hard stuff, you know, here it is. Milwaukee hasn't been 100 degrees out since like 1871. And they ask, is climate change real? And basically Nikki Haley's the only one that's like, yes, it's real. You got to listen to Vivek Ramaswamy just say things that he thinks are cute and memeable. Ugh, so terrible. So terrible. Of course, Chris Christie can't even answer the question when they ask about climate change. Wouldn't deign to raise his hand or not. 844-967-2789. Anya, I think if she's there, my friend, she is.
What's
there.
That? What do you need?
We're gonna listen to a little bit more here. I think we got to go to the Ramaswamy on Ukraine because this was the other great Nikki Haley moment. I really think she had some of the most quotable stuff of the night. This is going to be cut two. It's going to go for a little while. It's a little lengthy, but you got to wait for it. Now, I'll cue up the question. It's basically like, should we be doing more to support Ukraine? And remember, on this show, we had the expert from UW-Madison that said that war will end when democracies give Ukraine enough to defeat Russia. There is not a salient option where Russia is permitted to take over Ukraine. And also, Ukraine has been a longtime U.S. ally. So that is the question. And we're going to start by hearing from the say-nothinger, Ramaswamy, who doesn't know squat about foreign policy, in his enlightened viewpoint on what we should do with one of the greatest enemies that the United States has ever faced in Vladimir Putin and Russia. This is cut two. Go for it.
30 seconds is 30 seconds. Mr. Ramaswamy, you were mentioned. You get 30 seconds.
So the reality is that today, Ukraine is not a priority for the United States of America. And I think that the same people who took us into the Iraq War, the same people who took us into the Vietnam War, you cannot end it. You cannot start another no-win war. And I do not want to get to the point where we're sending our military resources abroad when we could be better using them here at home to protect our own borders, protect the homeland.
All right.
That will be my top priority in foreign policy.
I think we gave you
protect
more than the 30
homeland.
Seconds in the rebut. So I do want to get to some other people because everybody, we respect everybody's time here. So, Governor Haley, you did not raise your hand, meaning that you would support more.
You want me to cut it?
Keep it going. We got to hear from Haley next.
For the Ukraine war. You have said of Governor DeSantis that you didn't appreciate it when he initially called it a territorial dispute. Why?
First of all, the American president needs to have moral clarity. They need to know the difference between right and wrong. They need to know the difference between good and evil. Right. When you look at the situation with Russia and Ukraine, here you have a pro-American country that was invaded by a thug. So when you want to talk about what has been given to Ukraine, less than 3.5% of our defense budget has been given to Ukraine. If you look at the percentages per GDP, 11 of the European countries have given more than the U.S. But what's really important is go back to when China and Russia held hands, shook hands before the Olympics, and named themselves unlimited partners. A win for Russia is a win for China. We have to know that. Ukraine is the first line of defense for us. And the problem that Vivek doesn't understand is he wants to hand Ukraine to Russia. He wants to let China eat Taiwan. He wants to go and stop funding Israel. You don't do that to friends. What you do instead is you have the backs of your friends. Ukraine is a front line of defense. Putin has said, once Russia takes Ukraine, Poland and the Baltics are next. That's a world war. We're trying to prevent war. Look at what Putin did today. He killed Prigozhin. When I was at the UN, the Russian ambassador suddenly died. This guy is a murderer, and you are choosing a murderer over a pro-American country.
First of all,
Mr. Ramaswamy, you have 30 seconds. Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis,
I wish you well in your future career on the boards of Lockheed and Raytheon.
You know, I'm not on
but
the
fact
boards
of the matter,
Raytheon, and you know,
Boeing
you
came off of it, but you've been pushing this lie.
You want to go and defund Israel? Yes. You want to
okay,
get
let me address that. I'm glad you brought
you
that up.
Go and give
I'm going to address
Russia.
Each of those right now. This is the false lies of a professional politician. There you have it.
So the reality make America is, less safe. You have no foreign policy experience, and it shows.
And you know what?
Boom. Thank you. You can cut it there, Anya. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, let's just start with this. If Vivek Ramaswamy doesn't understand the geopolitical ramifications of Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, and the threat that Putin poses to democracies the world over, and cannot distinguish that from American entanglements in Iraq and Vietnam, yeah, he's disqualified from being president. Literally a freshman political science student at university would know better and be able to describe why Vietnam and Iraq are not at all in any way, shape, or form comparable to what Putin is doing in Ukraine. They're just not. And oh, by the way, we haven't invested as much in Ukraine as we have in Vietnam, in Iraq. Moron. Anyways, I got to go to a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the circus. And I got a special guest for everybody coming up in the fourth block this afternoon. He's going to be joining me in the studio, my good friend, Bob DeVita. So keep it locked in. Join us, 844-967-2789. What'd you think? Because my head was exploding. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Strong storms, including suspected tornadoes, have claimed several lives in mid-Michigan. Brian Wheeler is with Consumers Energy.
The storm was certainly fierce, very powerful storm. It started really in Kent County, the Grand Rapids area, and then swept through the Lansing region on its way to southeast Michigan.
All 19 defendants have surrendered in the Georgia 2020 election interference case, including former President Trump. Now that he's out on bond, he's trying to use this latest arrest to his advantage.
Just hours after he left the jail, we saw the mugshot popping up, for instance, on campaign mugs and t-shirts on his campaign website.
CBS's Nicole Killian. COVID is not done with us yet, not by a long shot. Here's CBS's Michael George.
The number of COVID cases is edging up nationwide. Hospitalizations jumped more than 21% in 1 week this month.
People above 70 account for the majority of hospitalizations. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. If you're a fan of horseshoes, Carson Park in Eau Claire is the place you want to be for Labor Day weekend. The 101st State Horseshoe Tournament will be held at Carson Park on September 2nd and 3rd, featuring 100 of the best horseshoe players in Wisconsin. The tournament will be free for spectators, and if you're not a fan of horseshoes but still want to attend the event, an arts and crafts fair will take place right next to the tournament. Law enforcement officers in Wisconsin and Minnesota will be stepping up impaired driving enforcement through Labor Day weekend. According to Wisconsin State Patrol Superintendent Tim Carnahan, there were over 7,000 crashes involving alcohol or drug impairment in Wisconsin in 2022, and over 25% of all traffic fatalities involved alcohol. Authorities hope the increased enforcement will deter residents from driving while impaired during one of the busiest travel seasons of the year. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Android, D-boy, decoy, water, wisdom, tightrope, vision, insight, stronghold. Heartless, ice cold, mystery, mastery, solar.
Some will pull the gun because they want to be stars. Snatching up your life into the blink of an eye. And if you see a clone on the street walking by, keep it running from your life because only one will survive. Wars in the streets and it's an eye for an eye.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 844-967-2789. Next segment, I'm going to have my friend Bob DeVita join me. We're going to talk about why healthcare is so busted in America. And we're going to tell you how you can join a healthcare co-op if you would like to get some health insurance. Bob helped set that up here in Milwaukee, so really excited to have it. But we're talking debate before we talk to Bob. Again, Shout out to my new friend, Carmela. Thanks so much for coming to say hi yesterday. Texters, yes, Anya is a boss. I'm sorry if I was not able to get to you fast enough today on the phones. Other texters pointing out that Ramaswamy put up on Facebook that the point isn't that Putin would lose, it's that America wins. Well, America wins when Putin loses this war. I mean, he's suggesting that, like, there's some outcome where Putin takes over Ukraine that's good for the United States. Again, the man, he has no idea what he's talking about. None. He's just basically repackaging Trump nonsense to hopefully suck up some of the Trump supporters if the guy ends up in prison. Like, that's the Ramaswamy tack. I'll show you my big old teeth and say some things that kind of sound cool, that are very memeable, and then I'll repackage Trump nonsense and try to make it sound smart. And by the way, the guy has suggested that the U.S. government was somehow in on 9/11, okay? Can't make this stuff up. That's who that man is. And he's a terrible racist. I don't want to talk about him anymore. I don't want to talk about the odd man. I think it would behoove us. We have to play the cut, Anya, where it's right after they've been asked to raise their hands if they'll support Trump. Right. So this is cut one as we numbered them. If you can just go to it, it's going to play for a while. It's a little long, but this was for all the marbles, everybody. And here's what happened last night.
We are going to take a brief moment and talk about the elephant not in the room.
Former President Trump has been indicted in four different states on 91 counts. He will be processed tomorrow in Georgia at the Fulton County Jail for charges relating to the 2020 election loss.
You all signed a pledge to support the eventual Republican nominee. If former President Trump is convicted in a court of law, would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would.
Vivek, DeSantis, Haley, Scott, and Burgum raise their hands. Crispy wiggles his index finger in the air twice. Hutchinson does not move.
Hold on. So just to be clear, Governor Christie, you were kind of late to the game there, but no, you raised your hand?
No, I'm doing this. Look, look, I'm doing this,
and
not
I know
this.
You didn't.
Whoa. No. Just come. What's and the look, here's the bottom line. Someone's got to stop normalizing this conduct. Okay? Now whether or not you believe that the criminal charges are right or wrong, the conduct is beneath the office of President of the United States. And you know, this is the great thing about this country. Booing is allowed, but it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth.
They don't like that one, do they?
Supporting.
No. I'd like to get in and respond. Let's just speak the truth, okay? President Trump, I believe, was the best president of the 21st century. It's a fact. To God, your claim that Donald Trump is motivated by vengeance and grievance would be a lot more credible if your entire campaign were not based on vengeance and grievance against one man.
But so what? It doesn't make the critique of Trump any less true.
Donald Trump, without an iota of vision for this country, they could just change the channel to MSNBC right now. But I'm not running for president of MSNBC. I am running for president of the United States. We're skating on thin ice, and we cannot set a precedent where the party in power uses police force to indict its political opponents. It is wrong. We have to end the weaponization of justice in this country.
30 seconds, Governor DeSantis.
I'm sorry, 30 seconds, Governor. You make me laugh because you sit here in an answer.
Right.
You sit here and answer.
Go ahead, Governor Christie.
Hold on, Governor Christie. Well, so listen, the more time we spend doing this, the less time they can talk about issues you want to talk about. So let's just get through this section. Governor Christie.
You sit here talking about how you want to stand up for the rule of law.
Yes.
And law and order. And the fact is that it can't be selective. In your book, you had much different things to say about Donald Trump than you're saying here tonight.
That's not true.
No, it is very true.
That is not true.
It's very true. I read it,
because
and I know.
Difference look, between bad behavior and illegal behavior, Chris. And you, as a prosecutor, should know better.
Yeah, I. You know what? I know a lot
there's
better.
There's a difference between bad behavior.
And I know a lot better than you do. You've never done it like you've never done anything to try to advance the interests of this government, except to put yourself forward as a candidate tonight. And here's the thing: we've stood up for law and order. I did it as U.S. attorney, I did it as governor, and I am not going to bow to anyone when we have a president of the United States who disrespects the Constitution. He said,
your MSNBC contributor.
He said, Martha,
we have to call out the truth.
Martha, it's important to say that the president said, Donald Trump said, it's okay to suspend the Constitution. Now, the oath you take is to preserve, protect, and defend, not suspend. I will always stand up for our Constitution, regardless of the political pressure.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And, like, Vivek Ramaswamy doesn't even hold a complete thought through that debate, right? Donald Trump was the best president in the 21st century. And then 2 seconds later, he's quibbling with Chris Christie about whether Donald Trump's conduct was just morally reprehensible, but not criminal. Okay? Those two things don't go together. He's just saying words, people. Just words. Blah, 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 blah. And then truth. It's ridiculous.
Just like all his posters, too.
They were between him and DeSantis. I have never heard more empty platitudes. It's Shakespearean, right? Sound and fury signifying nothing. They are indeed Shakespearean.
Whoa. Let's not drag Shakespeare down into this, Maggie. Come on.
Well, listen, it's unintentional Shakespearean. It's not as if their oration or iambic pentameter more has like, risen to that level. Yes. Yeah. Their unintentional clownishness. And I think the line that precedes the all sound and fury signifying nothing is like the idiot that speaks, right? That's how leads in Shakespeare. So, and of course, another text to point out, the GOP will never support a woman. Of course not. Least of which a woman whose actual name is Nimarata Randhawa Haley. That's Nikki Haley's full name. Nimarata Randhawa Haley. That's her name, not Nikki. That's a nickname. So we spent some time on this. There's a couple of other things I would be remiss if I did not mention that happened in the news. I could do 3 hours of radio today because there's just so much in the news. I'm going to hit these items. Let's roll the clip, if we can, Anya, of former Judge Luttig. He was on with Professor Larry Tribe talking about the 14th Amendment, Section 3, and that Trump is now ineligible to be president. Go ahead and roll it.
Nicole, if there's one thing that I could tell the country and today, it would be that the effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election was not and is not politics. This is, as we now know from the indictments of the former president by the Department of Justice and Jack Smith, these were grave crimes against the United States of America, perhaps almost as grave as would have been treason. The night that I received the first call from my longtime friend Richard Cullen, he cast the question that way, which is, what can we do for the country? What can the Vice President of the United States do for America 2 days thence? This has never been a mission of mine. It's never been a quest of mine, as the Washington Post said. It's I suppose one could say that it's been a quest, only in the limited sense that it has been a search, not just on my part, but on the part of the American people for the truth under the Constitution of the United States about the events of January 6th. Just one word about your impending question about my conservative transition. Again, this is not political, Nicole. It never has been, and it never will be. I've not changed my conservative jurisprudential views. I've not changed my conservative political views one bit in 50 years.
Yeah, that's the point, everybody. That is conservative jurist, former Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Luttig, a Federalist, a conservative, a longtime Republican, and he's talking about having talked to Richard Connor, who is also a conservative, about the fact that these are grave crimes against the United States of America. Anyone on that debate stage who doesn't say that is ineligible to be president and is morally unfit to do so. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we now have the mugshots from the felony bunch in Georgia. If you haven't seen them, check them out, because there's some pretty scary stuff, except for Jenna Ellis, who looked like she was posing for her senior picture. Very weird. Very weird. Mark Meadows, Sidney Powell, Giuliano, the Cheese Man. I mean, they all look really spooky. Also, Boebert got on, I think it was Newsmax. She went on some tangent, called the bail condition imposed by the Georgia judge against Trump, basically preventing him from twitting and tweeting and Xing and Truth Socially and whatever else that the man does to intimidate witnesses. She called that absurd. No. And in a really rich bit of irony today, Jim Jordan, that big thought leader, yeah, he's using the House Judiciary Committee to launch an investigation into Fani Willis. So on the day that Trump is booked and processed, that guy's using Congress to do what? Go after political enemies while complaining about people that go after political. It's beyond me. Also today, Jack Smith filed a document in the Florida documents case where one of the witnesses has now recanted their prior testimony. Why? Why might they do such a thing? Well, because they got an actual lawyer that's not paid by Trump, a federal defender, and they immediately came out and said, what I told you before, that wasn't true. I need to correct my testimony. And they put Donald Trump, Nauta, and D. Oliveira right in the mix with directing him to delete the data and videos from Mar-a-Lago. I could go on. Tennessee's going full fascist. And, oh, yeah, Fani Willis is shooting for an October 23 trial date. Again, slow news day. But lock it in, everybody. I'll take your calls next segment with my good friend Bob DeVita here on the Maggie Doan Show. Join us for the last segment of the week, 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more in a moment. And that man wants us in emancipation. Yep. And then there is a man who wants a stronger nation. But you see, we really got to, and I think that we ought to protect the mind from degradation. Sowing the seeds of education. They run from us, so we the dangerous. There's a horn on the streets, and it's a race we dance to die.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, mostly clear tonight, to a low in the upper 50s. Sunny, gorgeous, and mid-70s tomorrow, upper 70s with sun Sunday. Another slight storm chance later Sunday night and on into Monday. Monday high hitting around 80. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I would be complex. I would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. And that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader.
I'll take those guys on a bait stage. Bring it. Boy, would that be fun, wouldn't it? What's that like? Stick a little Maggie Dawn on Vivek. Hashtag Maggie debates the entire GOP field single-handedly. I'll do it. Let me at him. Put me in, coach. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us for the last segment of the day, 844-967-2789. I'm joined by my great friend, Bob DeVita, here in our little pirate studio at the back of the Roman coin. Bob, did you watch the debate last night, parts of it?
I did a debate watch party.
Oh.
Two close friends and my wife, and I have a couple of observations.
Yes. Did you play like a drinking game? Like every time Hunter Biden's laptop, everybody's got a drink.
Not quite, but. Wasn't it interesting that nary a word was said about healthcare except abortion, but never was Obamacare root and branch. Remember it was going to be ripped out root
yes,
and branch?
Yes, of course.
That was before the 70 failed attempts to legislate it.
Yeah, and the famous John McCain thumbs down.
Exactly. So nary a word about that or Medicare.
Yes, it was shocking to me, right? Here is this thing that is so important to every working American.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And they don't talk about it. No. It was why your scheduled appearance today was so hugely important, Bob.
Thank you.
So Bob, I know it's small walkie is kind of how we know each other, but Bob used to work in the healthcare space, spent his career in that space. He now is an adjunct professor at UWM. He's been a longtime football player and coach. Overall, great guy. And I certainly enjoy passing some time with him. Bob, inquiring minds want to know, why is the healthcare system in the United States so screwed up?
Yeah, and it is. So I start out every semester talking about this with my students. I teach in the, this is a shameless
Plug,
thank you, for the Lubar EMBA program in healthcare leadership at UWM. And I start out, I've been there 10 years teaching this healthcare leadership series of seminars, and I start out every time talking about, let's level set about healthcare, U.S. healthcare. Where are we? And why are we here? And where we are is screwed up, good word,
yep.
Because we stand at nearly 20% of the GDP, gross domestic product, that's of the U.S. economy. That's almost double what the next highest nation is. What that means is we're consuming double what I think it's Canada or France or one of the European countries. Why is that? Well, it's for a lot of reasons. One is fundamentally, we have a screwed up healthcare system because we've never organized it. It's not a system. It's a disorganized mess.
And it sort of came about very haphazardly. There's never been good, intentional, deliberate policymaking.
Not at all. In fact, until 1965 with Medicare, we never had a national health policy. And that was fought by everybody, including the AMA. And now you couldn't rip it out of the AMA.
Out of their cold, dead hands, right?
Or people's, you know, the voters' hands.
Yep.
And the second reason is we have lost our what I'm calling our moral compass, the meaning and purpose for healthcare. And I'm a business person, but I had a mentor who said, you know, profits are like oxygen. You don't live for them, but you can't live without them. Mm-hmm. Okay, that made sense. We're not living for profits in healthcare. We got to make a profit, but what we do with the profit in healthcare is we reinvest it. We don't give it to people for shareholder distribution or stock options for executives. We reinvest it, and we're not doing that.
Right.
We're enamored with, and this sounds so old school and hokey, but it's true. We're enamored with the bottom line, and I'm a business person. We got to have a bottom line, but we don't have a bottom line without purpose.
Well, I think that's been such, you know, it's been brought into such sharp relief by some villainous individual actors, right? Like the guy that drove up the prices for AIDS medication.
Martin Shkreli.
Right? He was literally the most reviled man on planet Earth for a time. We look at insulin pricing and the fact that we've got folks in this country who need insulin to live, who will die, who are rationing insulin because pharmaceutical companies care more about returning enormous performance bonuses because we've got a totally screwed up pricing mechanism for pharmaceuticals, right? Yeah. This is all part of a system that has gone awry. And if you don't have government delivered healthcare, you do need a profit as you, so that the business interests can continue and they can innovate and invest in R&D. But if the profit side is not going to produce better outcomes within the system and it's just conferring windfall benefits, that's the core of the problem, is it not?
Yeah, it is. So what we're trying to do is teach emerging leaders that you really have to adhere to two things. One is get back to the meaning and purpose, and we've termed it, my co-teacher and I, a spiritual renaissance. A spiritual renaissance meaning it's more than just the organization and the business principles. It's got to be about meaning and purpose. And the second dimension is, just like physicians and nurses and pharmacists take a Hippocratic oath, we want the business side to do the same thing.
Yes.
And that's easy to say, but hard to do. What are they? Well, number one, do no harm. Duty to warn, number two. Number three, duty to warn, and I'm forgetting duty to warn.
It's the pressure, Bob. It's getting to you. The thin veneer of calm is cracking, my friend. Listen, while you think of that, I got to ask you the other important question that I promised our listeners that I would ask you, and that is, tell us about Common Ground's healthcare co-op.
Sure.
And how people can learn more about it and potentially become part of that co-op if they've got a gap in their healthcare or are uninsured right now.
So, first of all, level set around, what is a co-op? It's simply a business organization done another way. And what we're doing with the business organization is making sure that it's in business to make a profit, but the profits are returned to the owners, and the owners are people who buy the product. So if you're at, go to REI Outfitters, you buy the product, you get a shareholder dividend. It's a co-op dividend, and we're the same way. If we have a profit, we return it. First of all, we build our reserves, but we also return it to the shareholders,
the users of the product. Where do they go to find out more about it? I'm going to have you back because we're just running right out of time, Bob. But tell people where they can go to find more about it.
Yep.
Go, no. Tell them now. What's the website for them to go check out the Common Ground?
Healthcare.gov.
Healthcare.gov.
Yeah. And there's two ways. If you're an individual under 65, you go to the ACA exchange. Affordable Care Act exchange. So it's a federal exchange and you buy it there. Or if you're a small business, you go through Individual Coverage Health Reimbursement Arrangement, ICHRA, and you can buy it through your employer, although the employer gives you a payment, actual payment that you can then take.
Basically, to the a voucher. ACA. Yep.
Voucher
yep.
Take to the ACA.
We're out of time. I'm going to have Bob DeVita back. We're going to talk about it over dinner and find that next date so you can learn more from Bob. He's such a great guy. Thanks for being here.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.